Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
It's that time of night, you can't stay uptight. So come and join the people and I'm feeling all right. Here on Overnight America. Overnight America.
Ooh, yeah, I'll get you going. Welcome back. Now past 10 o'clock. On Overnight America, I'm your host, Ryan Recker, on Twitter, at Ryan Recker. And if you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcast at KMOX.com/ONA. Joining us now, I call him the local watchdog everyone needs to know. His name is Tom Sullivan. Thank you for coming back on to KMOX. Oh, I'm sorry. I had the wrong button there, Tom. Hi.
Good evening.
I do this often. I press the wrong buttons, and then I get a glare from the producer booth. He looks at me like, are you an idiot? Because you do this all the time. So I'm sorry about that. Well, were you at the meeting earlier today when they were discussing the Bi-State Development Agency and perhaps the plan that they want to put together to take over the trolley?
I was at the meeting, and it was quite a meeting. They had a discussion. The meeting lasted about an hour and 45 minutes, and about an hour and 15 minutes of that was discussing the loop trolley. And by the way, it was an open meeting, and that was something that that surprised me.
Before, they were threatening that they would do this behind closed doors. They were going to close the session out or whatever. And I'm glad they kept it open air. It should have been that way altogether. Did you get a chance to speak?
I did. I gave my usual speech about the fact that the loop trolley has no way of ever breaking even. That it's been more of a liability than an asset. That it makes no sense to keep going with this when they have. They already have troubles with security on Metrolink. They're having troubles with getting people to work on buses. There's been quite a lot of complaints because they cut back on service. What they called Metro Reimagined was actually a cutting back in service. So they've got all these issues, and in the middle of all this, their CEO, Talby Roach, comes up with this big plan to take over the loop trolley.
All right, and this is what's interesting. You forwarded me some of the different things that are going to be in this plan. This is the first I've seen this, and I wanted to go over some of these points of the plan and get your reaction to it. The first part, it says, the fundamental financial parameters require no additional loop trolley funding from any of the existing funders in either capital or operating for at least 4 years. Now, just right off the bat, how realistic is it that somehow they could magically make the trolley self-sufficient and they wouldn't need funding from any other sources?
It's not realistic at all. In fact, it's hard not to realize that the very things that they're saying now are the very same things that they said at the very beginning with the trolley. Oh, it's not going to be any problem. We're going to have all these riders. Financing will never be a problem. So, and of course, all these things didn't turn out to be true. But they generally do on these projects. They say whatever they need to say to get it to the next step. Whether it's true or not doesn't really matter. And that's what happened with the trolley. You know, any time a question was raised, no problem, we're going to take care of that. So now the trolley's in trouble, and now we have the CEO of Bi-State. He's saying the same things about the loop trolley that they said at the very beginning. And he realizes that there's still a lot of issues to deal with, but it's surprising that he would go to this depth. I mean, he's talked to the Federal Transit Administration. He's got a very in-depth report that he gave to the board, and so he's really going, and he got authorization to continue looking into it. But then there are some commissioners who said, well, basically what you want to do is you want to take over. You're not really taking it to the point where we're going to get to decide. He says, oh, no, we're going to have final board approval and all this. But at this point, it looks like he is very much interested in it. There's no doubt about that.
Wow. I don't understand it, honestly. I don't understand why you would want to take on the responsibility of this, knowing that there is going to be no way to make this stand on its own two feet. You know, one other part of this that maybe you could elaborate on, or if you know the answer to. So they were saying using, and this is how they would help fund this so there wasn't any additional resources carrying over from Metrolink, for example. Using unused federal legacy grants from past successful federal grants, they would designate $1.1 million for operating assistance to stabilize trolley operations. Then they would recategorize using existing federal legacy rail funding from FTA grant funds up to $800,000. So how in the world do they have all this money just laying around that's not being utilized? I don't understand that either.
I don't either. I never heard of that. Never heard of that description before, legacy funds. And it kind of surprised everybody at the meeting. Some of the commissioners were saying, like, how can you come up with this money? And he apparently claims that he has it, and he thinks he's going to get by for 4 years at $1.1 million. Then they're going to have to check over all the trolley and see what's needed. And we still got this thing about the third trolley car up in Iowa being worked on. So I mean, there's all these loose details, but they're going to go forward.
Yeah, and they still have to pay the piper all of these other outstanding debts that they owe. I don't understand how they could make all of this and justify all of this. And part of it, too, and I've used this example before, anytime any company or a business owner thought about an acquisition of another company, the very first thing they do is open up the books. They want to look at what the financial records are. They want to see what the debts are, the obligations are, before they buy that company. Why in the world would anyone want to assume all of this without actually being able to open up the books? There needs to be an audit of this thing first. Why don't they just wait until an audit occurs so they know what they're getting into with taxpayer money?
Well, that'd be a great idea, but so far they don't want to seem to do that. You have to realize that they have almost $500,000 in loans outstanding on the books. Then they have various tax credits, and with those you have, you know, certain contracts that you have to fulfill. Then they have a tax increment financing, a TIF, and they take $4 million from that, and, of course, that has to be paid back. So it's going to take some real legal gymnastics in order to transfer it over to Bi-State.
Wow. Gymnastics. What was the vibe that you got from some of the different people on the Bi-State Development Agency? Were they, you know, to me, they're entertaining this idea when they shouldn't, but do you get the idea that even with a plan and even after they look this over, it's still unrealistic that they'll take it on?
Well, you have two commissioners from Madison County in Illinois. They are just vehemently against it, and they've raised very good questions, and they tend not to believe things that they're being told, and they're the ones who are against it. Then you have some other board members who are certainly questioning about it. Then you have some board members that they just go along whatever the program is. But the board has changed over the years. It used to be they just rubber stamped everything, and now you have people who are actually asking questions. So I mean, it's not exactly a done deal. But it's going to depend on how things turn out. And like I say, there's a whole lot of things that they have to go through. But I think the public attitude is, you know, this thing is just it's just time to throw in the towel on this. Don't waste any more money on it. And but they don't seem to care much of what the public has to say. And then we have then he keeps going on, the CEO, about defaulting on the grant. I don't know what he's talking about. And my understanding was they got $25 million for that one grant from the government. When you get a grant, it's a grant. It's not a bond issue or a loan. And he keeps saying that we don't want to have it default. Well, I don't know how you can default on the grant. So that's another thing that has to be looked at. Nobody ever talked about that before. It always was, we got the money, we can spend it on a trolley. So there's a whole long list of things that are going to have to be gone through.
Yeah, Tom Sullivan joining us here on Overnight America. And just the grant alone, there were other communities that were granted money. Someone asked that question earlier. Do we even know if these other communities that were given money, how it's working out for them? Like, there's got to be, with all the delays that happened here in St. Louis, there's got to be other places that have been able to find a way to make this work. I mean, we can't be the only ones that have taken money from this grant and... that are in the same situation, I guess. Or maybe we are.
No. Well, besides that, you have to realize the government's not actually known for being really thrifty when it comes to tax dollars. I don't know what some of these other ones are for. But and again, you have to realize that when they give these grants, politics, of course, plays a big part of it, and that's certainly what the situation was here in St. Louis. So, you know, everything mixes in. It's politics with the biggest priority, and then they have to figure where, you know, how it's going to work out. But my feeling is, if it's not working and the feds gave the money, then the feds have to take some responsibility.
That's interesting too. With all of the national attention this has received, I think it was Wall Street Journal and all these really large publications that are across the United States and even internationally that have wrote about this, and they've looked at the failing trolley system, all this money, federal money that went into it. I don't know how they say we don't want St. Louis to be looked at negatively when it comes to this by defaulting on the money that came from the feds. It's way late for that. I mean, if there was any other of these novelty or these cosmetic style grants that were going to go out, things that are not a necessity but more or less to beautify certain areas, if there were other grants that could be awarded to this area, there's no way they would not take into consideration the failures, even if we try to keep this thing on one leg going forward. They would have to take that into consideration regardless of the trolley running or not. So I see that as almost as a moot point.
I have to agree, you know, but they're just saying all sorts of things that not all of them really add up. One of the things I told them at the board meeting this morning is, you know, if this thing continues to be continues to fail, they're going to end up on NBC News with the fleecing of America, you know, just like Mid-America Airport. And one commissioner had raised that. He said we could lose credibility with the public. In addition to that, we can look very foolish, and that's one of the risks that they take.
Yeah, let's get Stossel in here. I wonder what he thinks about this. Tom Sullivan. All right, so now we're in a waiting period. Do we know when they're going to make a decision based on the Tolby Roach plan?
Well, Tolby Roach says they're planning on shutting it down in January and February. I have a hard time believing that. You know, it's just. Even if they only run it for 2 hours, 4 days a week, I would think they would want to keep it running. But he says that's what the plan is, and he's been involved with all this. So they're going to put it in mothballs, apparently, for 2 months.
There it is. Tom Sullivan, thank you so much for giving us an update on the trolley saga here on Overnight America.
Thanks, Ryan.
And he joins us on the Quiver River Electric KMOX guest line. And if you know, we've had so many great interviews with Tom Sullivan. You can go back and listen to them at KMOX.com/ONA.
Listening to KMOX has never been easier.
Siri, play KMOX.
Yeah, here's the new development. And Tom Sullivan forwarded me this email, and this is the first I'm seeing of it. On behalf of Tolby Roach, sent to what looks like most of the county commissioners, dear Executive Page and St. Louis County Council, here's what the email says, and I'll just read it to you regarding the trolley. And if you want to call in, you can at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I'm going to try to not break this microphone stand. Every day I struggle with this one microphone arm. I can never get this thing to work right. Okay, I think I got it. So to address these concerns, this is what he writes. I'm writing this email in an attempt to proactively highlight the important principles of the plan. Number one, the fundamental financial parameters require no additional loop trolley funding from any of the existing funders in either capital or operating for at least 4 years. Who believes that? Honestly, there's no way that the commissioners, they could believe that. There's no way. Okay, number two. The key goal is to avoid default on the federal grant obligation. And Tom Sullivan brings up an excellent point. It's a grant. I don't know how you could be obligated to pay back the grant. I guess you could go online and maybe find what the conditions of the grant are, but do you ever see a payback on a grant? I've never seen that either. All right, number three. There are two important financial contributions which have been negotiated with the Federal Transit Association or Administration, the FTA. Using unused federal legacy grants from past successful federal grants, BSD and BTA, so the Bi-State Development Agency in the Federal Transit Administration, would designate $1.1 million for operating assistance to stabilize trolley operations. Where did this money come? Like, we had $1.1 million laid dormant with all of the issues we've had at Metrolink. Why wasn't that money spent to begin with? What were you doing? Why do we have a $1.1 million rainy day fund? And why would you spend it and waste it on this? All right, so that's point A. Point B, recategorizing existing unused federal legacy rail funding from FTA grant funds up to $800,000 for use to bring rolling stock to the standards of BSD transit operations. Less rolling stock and more laughing stock. Let me just throw this out there, and this is a totally uneducated thing to say, but when you're starting to talk about the Federal Transit Association and then you're looking at rail funding, would that be a proper use for the funding? So let's say they do take some of the money and it's appropriated inappropriately. So they take rail funding and they use it on something that it's not meant for. Could then the federal government say, wait a minute, wouldn't you be a little bit more worried if the federal government had to audit and they found all of the problems? I mean, sometimes you got to quit when you're ahead, but we're not ahead. We're way behind. Sometimes you got to quit when you're behind too, I guess. How about this? In point number four, the Loop Trolley Transportation Development District funding is projected to grow over this period, allowing for reasonable operating support within the period of FTA operating support. To say that their projections are optimistic is way wrong. I mean, we've gone a full year with it. When something first launches, you have this initial type of interest in it, and people go crazy for it. You know, radio too, when you launch a radio station, people are interested in it. They want to check it out. They want to listen to it. They want to see what it's all about. And normally, your very first ratings period of a radio station, when you first launch a station, it's always really high. It's super inflated. So if you're saying that after all of the wait and after all of the anticipation, we finally get this thing up and running, that somehow we're going to outpace that period after we've gone through a drought all these months, we're a year in, they've already asked for an extra $200,000. And they said, well, if we're going to do this next year, we need $500,000. This is on top of the money they already asked for to begin with that wasn't already afforded them in the past. They just keep asking for more and more money. What indication do you have that their projections are going to be accurate based on what we've seen in the past? I mean, if everything was on time, if everything was on budget, if they didn't already ask for multiple loans, if they didn't already ask for more federal government money multiple times, then you might say, okay, but how many other times do we have to be fooled by this? Come on now. And point number five, management and control of Loop Trolley assets would be transferred to BSD per FTA requirements. That's the plan, essentially. That's what they're going to be faced with. So earlier today, there was a vote in order to, I guess, consider this plan. So are we going to consider it? The answer is yes. It was a 6-3 vote to approve the request to further negotiate a proposal. So now they're going to look at this proposal and they're going to say either they believe it or they don't believe it. Do they believe that somehow magically this thing couldn't stay afloat for 1 year of operation? And they say, oh no, magically we're going to find a way to make it stay afloat for 4 years, no problem. I don't buy it. I don't think anyone else buys it. We're at the point where, come on now, if you're part of this Bi-State Development Agency and you're looking at this, you got to shut it down. There's got to be a point where you do the responsible thing and say, sorry, enough's enough. You got to put your foot down. It's just not worth it. And coming up, a few other things I want to get to. We'll keep the phone lines open, too, at 314-436-7900. No text messages tonight, and so far no phone calls, but we've done a lot of interviews. So, you know, if you've been waiting to call, this would be a good time to do it. Why not do it now? We don't have any other scheduled phone calls and interviews, so let's keep the phone lines a little bit more flexible and open that way. I'm going to stretch a little bit. Some crime stats. Let's look at those. But there's at least one good story to a carjacking that happened with a Good Samaritan involved. It's kind of sad when we have to try to spin stories this way. There's a good ending to a carjacking. Ugh. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
News Radio 1120, KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals. Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And by the way, you know, I sit on the stand and it get hot. I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight and then watch the hair come back up again. They'd look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I've loved kids jumping on my lap. And I tell you what.
This has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but I haven't played that clip yet today, and I feel like it's my obligation to play it every day until the 2020 election. good old Joe Biden. Oh, no, actually, there is something to mention. Reporters actually asked Joe Biden about his son's involvement with that Ukraine job, and he actually finally had a response to it. So here we are. We're going to talk about that maybe next hour. I think we'll talk about it next hour. I should have saved the clip. We'll play it again. Here's the phone number, 314-436-7900. You can call or text that line or 800-925-1120. I wanted to do this one story, and this was over on KSDK. Online, there was a Good Samaritan who posted up a real plea for people. And the plea was, help me find my dog. Here's what ended up happening. His name's Ryan McConnell. He said that he was on his way home Monday night when he saw a car spin out on the interstate on 70 on the express lane side. And apparently they must have blew a tire, whatever it was, got into a crash just north of downtown St. Louis. He pulled over to help check on the people inside after witnessing this thing. You see, he's a Marine veteran. He knows a thing or two about those stressful situations. He probably knows how to react, and he probably knows how to handle himself just in case for these situations. I don't know how many people would actually stop and help. Honestly, in certain areas, you're on the interstate, people drive crazy. People are crazy. There's a lot of real dangerous areas to break down, and you think to yourself, I don't know if this is a good idea for me. So this is what ended up happening. He decided to be a good Samaritan. He decided to help. Well, two other men pulled over and they stole his car with his dog inside the car. No good deed goes unpunished. And he's thinking to himself, you got to be kidding me. This dog is like my best friend. I love this dog. I'll do anything for this dog. I got to find this dog. So he turns around. His puppy Dill's in the back seat. The car's gone, stolen. He says, I don't give a blank about my car, he says. I just want my baby boy back. He writes in a Facebook post. Within 9 hours of posting, he got what he wanted. His little dog was found. Shared online, apparently the dog was found hiding under a car. Someone saw the dog and gave the phone number that was on his tag. That was, luckily, he still had his collar on with the tag and identification on it. Luckily. Had nothing to do with the people stealing the car getting a, you know, having any sort of conscience or having any sort of, well, maybe we can at least make sure this dog finds its way home. No, they're still scum. They're still pretty terrible humans. But they dump the dog, and luckily someone sees this thing, and the dog's friendly enough to allow someone to come up and check the number on the tag. And what a great way to reunite the two. He writes online, Dill has been found. Someone down off South Broadway found him hiding under a car and called the number on his tag. Thank you for helping spread the word. I never thought I would get this much. And he said he's kept a smile on his face ever since then. And a big part of what he's doing with this dog now is making sure that dog gets lots and lots and lots of treats and lots of belly rubs. It's what a cute little dog. Fox 2 did a story on it here tonight, too. I saw them cover that sort of thing. We got the different studios up. I got Fox 2 on the one. We were watching the Blues game on the other. Too bad the Blues lost there. Spoiler alert, but not good. And then on CBS, you know, they're doing their thing over there. I know I'm supposed to say spoiler alert ahead of time, but, you know, the game's passed so long ago. It feels like it's enough time. It's been an hour ago that game ended. But Fox 2 did a story on that, too. And then afterwards, after Fox 2 did the story, they bring up that TV show with Dennis Leary or whatever. Has Dennis Leary aged in the past 25 years? What in the world is he doing that makes him look exactly the same he did 25 years ago, maybe even 30 years ago? The guy just doesn't age. It's amazing to me. So I see dogs on the TV and news and think, okay, guy's reunited with his dog, cute looking dog. Then I see Dennis Leary never aging, and I think immediately my attention's diverted. It made me want to look up the crime stats here in St. Louis and get a little update to see what we're on track. There's only 1 month left in 2019. So how are things looking? How are things tracking? Not that great. With 1 month to go, we are 17 homicides higher than where we were the year before when it comes to the homicide count. In 2018, there was 166 homicides in St. Louis through all the different neighborhoods. In 2019, at the end of November, we're at 183. So that's about a 10% increase there. Burglaries up 5.4% and vehicle thefts up 10%. For a while there, you know, some of these statistics were dropping. When you look at 2018, there was some positive indications that, well, maybe the direction that we're taking with policing, trying to keep up with some of these more important areas that need more attention, I was hopeful for that. But then it goes right back up. I think that the police, they don't get enough of a chance to actually follow through with what their plan needs. They don't have the proper staffing. They don't have the support. And on top of all of these different things, we have prosecutors in place that will just, on a whim, we're not going to prosecute. And we just cycle people that are drug dealers and violent crime offenders right back onto the streets that reoffend over and over and over again. And it doesn't matter if the police have a confession, not enough for a prosecutor's sake. We're just going to let them go. It's unbelievable the way that we've been cycling things through St. Louis. Look at some of these other things. So if we look at larceny, that's basically the same. I like that you can still look at purse snatchings. You want to guess how many purse snatchings there were in 2019? Number's actually pretty low. It's 26. Shoplifting's over 1,000, but that's still lower than before. Motor vehicles, larceny from motor vehicles, that seems to be the highest of all. Coin-operated machines, pretty low too. People really go for the cars. Burglary, if you wanted to guess the time, unknown seems to be the highest time there, but most people do it during the day. It's not necessarily at night. It seems to be more of those numbers, at least crime statistic wise, are put up that way. So altogether, if you were to look at total crime in the city of St. Louis, we're basically exactly on par with where we were this time last year. Nothing all that great. Total crime in general, month by month, it seems to be increasing from 2018 to 2019. Just always ticking up, ticking up, ticking up. Are we going to end on a good note? Probably not. That's just the way it goes. It's St. Louis. What indications do you have that we'd actually be trending in the right direction? It's pretty sad, actually. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. We'll take some of your calls coming up on Overnight America KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, at Ryan Recker on Twitter. And go ahead, find us on your podcasting app. Search for Overnight America. Leave us a nice positive review and maybe say something nice, too. That would be great. Charlie calling in from Minnesota. Hey, Charlie.
Hey.
How are you?
Good.
So what's going on?
Well, shoveled up three inches of snow for the neighbor, and then just kicking back.
So what's the temperature up there right now?
Oh, 15 down to 2 below tonight.
Uh-huh. You're going to be hopefully bundled up.
Not when I'm sitting at 90 degrees indoors.
You do not set your heat at 90 degrees.
Oh, yeah, it is.
How much do you spend in energy bills every month at this time of year?
Too much.
Yeah. You're spending.
I'd rather be like this than to be walking in and chilled and still
90 degrees? You got a sweat box in there. Are you sweating?
Nope.
It's 2 below outside. You're walking around in shorts barefoot inside your home. All right, so you shoveled. You got all that done. What's going on? What else? You were calling in about something else?
Oh, I was going to see if you can get the guy back to see if you're still haunted.
Oh, yeah, we're still haunted. He messaged me on Twitter, and we haven't picked a date for him to come back. I think he's still analyzing the audio, but he said, oh, yeah, there's ghosts everywhere. You should be very concerned.
Uh-huh. Now, on a serious one,
mm-hmm.
It might be in your area or it might be up here. Refresh me. But that lady cop that shot that one guy mistakenly for her place.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was down in Texas, right?
Huh?
I thought that was in Texas.
That's it.
Yeah,
down there. What do you think of that?
Well, has there been a development? Has something changed in that? I haven't heard anything new from that. I mean, she was convicted and she's in prison. Last I checked, I haven't heard anything new.
Right. But I was just wanted to get to your opinion and others, some of your local folks down there, their opinion on that.
I mean, we might have talked about that when it first happened. I mean, it is a tragedy. It's a weird thing to happen to begin with. I'd have to be reminded of all the details, but I mean, she's already gone through trial and she's in prison. I mean, it's what happened so long ago now.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Charlie, why are you thinking about that right now? What brings that back to memory?
Well, because I read in our local paper that a county sheriff up here is going to be going on trial for killing this one guy who had a gun to his head, and he kept turning his head, and the county sheriff up here in Minnesota was afraid that the guy would miss and shoot him. So he shot him 4 times.
Wait, so there was a person that was pointing a gun at a suspect? Like a cop was pointing a gun at
him? No. The guy with the gun had it up to his head. He was going to commit suicide.
Oh, he had it onto his own head. Okay.
Yeah, and he kept turning his head, looking at the authorities, and one of the sheriffs that was there was afraid that he was going to miss and shoot him instead, so he shot the guy 4 times.
Oh, wow. Interesting. I'll have to look the details up in there.
So the district attorney looked at it and decided to indict the local sheriff on it.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, it's when you have a loaded weapon and a gun out in front of a police officer with an intention to use it, even if it's on yourself, it's a serious moment. And it's something that a police officer can't ignore. You can't just assume that a person that's willing to kill themselves can't also turn the gun on you. So those split-second moments, it's hard to fault a police officer when there's a loaded gun out and thinking that it could be used on you. And that's not a good situation. So I don't know if, I guess there's maybe some details there I need to learn more about, but I'll look that one up. Okay.
Yeah, because you guys might be able to find it online, but I just thought,
Okay.
Between those two, you were talking about your law enforcement and how crime has gone up so much, and I thought,
Yeah. All right. Hey, Charlie, thanks for calling in. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, right, you too.
Bye. You got to stay safe. Don't hurt yourself out there shoveling snow in Minnesota. He puts his heat at 90 degrees. He's probably spending $800 a month heating his house. James calling in from St. Louis. Hi.
Hello. How are you?
Good.
So my comment is just the effect earlier of the education with the young people in America.
Mm-hmm.
I got married 2 years ago. I'm 39 years old. My wife brought 2 children with her to the marriage. I can't help them with anything.
Is that right? So they bring home the homework and you look it over.
I'm a graduate of Vianney High School, class of 1998. I was in honors and so on and so forth. The stuff that they're teaching the young people today, I can't even begin to start to follow.
Wow.
I can give them the answer, but they'll tell me that that's not what the teacher's looking for.
Oh, well, give me an example of what you're talking about.
Any kind of mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
Any kind. Multiple division, subtraction, fractions, yada, yada, yada. You name it, this is what I'm talking about. And I can't help them. I took advanced probability and statistics, trigonometry in high school, and I can't help them do Common Core math.
Oh, they're still doing Common Core? I thought that was up by the wayside by now.
Well, Melville is still using it in our lovely city. And also asking people how much they want to charge for slaves. I mean,
is that the same school your grandkids go to?
No, my stepchildren. And no, they're not in Blades, but they're in the Melville School District.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine them bringing something home like that. Not only am I slightly appalled, but I thought we were way past anything like this in today's world.
Oh, from that assignment. You know, I shared some of my thoughts on that last night. And here's what I honestly think happened with something like that. I think that they probably grabbed some sort of like off the shelf sort of a curriculum, like, okay, let's give this a try. They didn't use a lot of discretion, or they didn't look it over good enough. And maybe they thought, well, if other schools are doing this, then I guess it's okay. The teacher had a huge lap of judgment for something like that. I don't think it was meant for, honestly, I don't think it was meant for any like racist purposes or anything like that. They just screwed up.
Yeah. I don't think so either.
Yeah, and, you know, but a suspension's probably the best. I don't think this teacher should lose their job, but obviously you got to discipline and say you should have known better.
Well, that might possibly be the case, but, I mean, I'm with your buddy early in the afternoon who doesn't think that the guy that said that Martin Luther King should have been Martin Luther whatever and lost his ass on that either with Kevin.
Yeah. You know, I'm not familiar with what that was, but James, thank you very much for your call. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know what you're referring to on something like that. If something else was said on the show earlier, maybe there was something that happened, whatever it is. But thanks, James. Good to hear from you. Yeah. I think that there's always that sort of discretion you have to use when it comes to teaching. And that assignment from Melville, we talked about it just briefly last night. I really don't think there was anything meant by it. I don't think that the person and the teacher meant to do anything that was racist, perhaps. Maybe they just had this, okay, we're going to take this assignment. It's the curriculum right off the shelf, you know, big box store off the shelf. We'll just open it up and pass it along to the kids. The whole idea of teaching kids the supply and demand and the value of the market values, things like that, it's a good thing to do. But including that one was a terrible idea. And I'm going to guess it was an honest mishap on their side, and it was an honest misunderstanding of what was appropriate or not when it comes to curriculum that's given to them to use. I'm doing a lot of assumption there. I don't think there was any, just in generally speaking, the person screwed up. That's it. They get disciplined. They get back to the job with the embarrassment of that they screwed up, and other people get to know about it, and they get publicly shamed for it, and then they move on. Yeah, they should keep their job. Coming up in the next hour, you've seen some reports about the new movie about Richard Jewell back in 96 with the Olympic bombing that happened here in the United States down in Atlanta. Well, Clint Eastwood's got the movie out. It looks awesome, by the way. I can't wait to see it. There's a lot of people that are upset. Mostly reporters are upset over the media's portrayal in this sort of thing. And honestly, what a great time to revisit things like fake news, you know? So we're going to look at that. Warner Brothers is backing the film. Some other people aren't. A couple of political things. Joe Biden blames his staff for his son's job in the Ukraine, saying, oh, they should have warned me. All right, a couple other comments. That interview he gave earlier with Fox News is really telling. This is Overnight America. One more hour of it coming up on KMOX.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.